the midst of a series on the theme of spiritual gifts. It's our desire through this series that every believer discover and develop their gifts so that the body of Christ might be edified and be capable of fulfilling her commission given to us by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want us to look in detail again at a few more of the gifts that have been listed for us. We find that list of the gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to invite you to follow along with me as I read again verse 3 down to verse 8. And then we're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Tonight I want to look at some of the gifts that are not often seen, but they are great blessings to every congregation. That's why we've entitled tonight's message, "Behind the Scenes Blessings." We're going to look at some of those gifts that aren't often seen by others, but bring to a church great blessing. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time tonight as we come and we seek to study His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we come before You now and we ask that You would allow us through this time a study of Your Word to see these wonderful gifts that You have given to Your church and to Your people. These gifts that are used to help the church grow, to be edified, and to be built up for the honor and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we as a church would be able to fulfill our commission given to us by Christ. Now, Lord, we ask and pray that we would never despise one of these gifts. And Lord, I pray that we would also then desire, as a believer, to know what gifts You have given unto us, that we might develop those gifts and use those gifts within the body of Christ, that we might be efficient and effective, be able to evangelize those who are lost, to see our church grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as number. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we took the time to consider in detail the gift of prophecy. Tonight we're going to consider two other gifts that I have grouped together as the behind the scenes gifts. There are six other gifts that we're going to look at, and I think they kind of pair up together and can be seen together. So the next couple of weeks we're going to look at two different gifts each week. But tonight I want to see some of those gifts that I call the behind the scenes gifts. Those gifts that maybe we don't always see and don't realize are taking place, but really do bring to the church great benefit and great blessing. In Romans chapter 12, if you look down with me in verse 7, you'll find the first of those gifts, and that is the gift of ministry. Paul would say, "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." There is the gift of service, and we want to talk about that gift in some detail tonight. And then if you go down to verse 8, you're going to find that it says that he that ruleth with diligence. And we define that for you. We're going to define that again in just a little bit. But that's the gift of administration, and we're going to talk about that as well in detail. But as we begin tonight, I want to consider the gift of service or the gift of ministry, the gift of helps. And the gift of service is interesting. It's the second gift that is listed by Paul in Romans chapter 12, and it's the first of the behind-the-scenes gifts. It really kind of sits between two gifts that are really kind of out there in front. you have the gift of prophecy and you have the gift of teaching. And kind of stuck between those two is the gift of ministry and the gift of service. Often now, which takes place in the gift of service is behind the scenes. What do we need to understand about this vital gift? Well, we're going to begin tonight again by going over the definition of the gift. The gift of service is defined by a desire and willingness to gladly work behind the scenes in accomplishing the necessary but often menial task in order that the work of God be fulfilled. The gift of service is that gift that is given to a believer at the time of their salvation, which enables them to willingly and to desire to work behind the scenes with joy, to gladly serve in the practical aspects of ministry. They are willing to accomplish those necessary but often the very menial tasks in order that the work of God might be fulfilled. I hope you realize that there are many things that go on behind the scenes of the church that make things function and work very well and make things look like they run very smoothly. In order for that appearance to be seen outwardly, there are people that need to serve behind the scenes. Those people willingly do so, not for the sake of recognition, but they do so because they see a task at hand and they realize it needs to be fulfilled. I'm thankful for these folks that God has given that say, you know what, I just want to serve. And they look for those needs. I'm thankful for folks who take the time and consider thoughts like this. It's snowing today. I was sitting outside yesterday and walking through the rain, and I'm realizing it's not long before that's not going to be water, that's going to be snow. Because you can almost kind of feel it in the air a little bit. I'm thankful for those folks that realize, you know what, it's Sunday morning and it's snowing. That means our parking lot's been cleared, but it might be a little slick out there. I better get over there and throw some salt down. Let's make sure the steps are cleared and the ramp is cleared. Someone has to consider that, and someone needs to do that so that others can go about and do their task. I'm thankful for folks that when we have fellowships, just realize that someone's got to set the chairs up and someone has to put them away. Someone has to take tables up, and after everyone eats on them, there's food around and those things need to be cleaned up. And they willingly do it. I'm thankful for folks that are willing and ladies who are willing to say, you know what, there's a need. There's someone that needs to go in the nursery and no one's here tonight. I think I'll just go in there. I don't mind. I can serve. There's not a lot of recognition in those jobs. I'm thankful for the folks that literally after a communion service walk around our church. I get to watch this every time we have it. And they pick up the little communion cups and they make sure they get disposed of. Nothing irritates me more, quite frankly, than coming back the week after and looking at an old, ugly communion cup. And I'm thankful for those who do those things, who make sure things are taken care of. It's behind the scenes, but it's necessary. It's menial. No one's going to recognize them for it, but they're willing to do it with joy. Let's look at the application of the gift. Every gift is essential for the health of the body of Christ. And the gift of service is truly needed if the church is going to be effective in every way. Although this is not one of the gifts that is most often sought after, it should be considered by all as desirable. There's not many people that say, boy, Lord, I wish you would give me the gift of service. There's not a lot of folks asking for this one. But it really ought to be one that we desire. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that he that would be greatest would achieve that status by being the servant of all. Remember, the disciples were having to dispute, Lord, will we come into the kingdom? John and I were thinking we ought to sit on your right and left hand. We think we've pretty much earned that spot.
And the Lord said, you know what? Let me teach you a little lesson. The one that will be chief among you, he is to be the servant of all. And that example is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He did not come to be served, but he came that he might serve others. And there is a need for those who are willing to serve. When we consider this gift, there are several practical aspects of this gift that we need to understand. If someone has the gift of service, we're going to see and notice a few things about them. And we give these to you because they might help you determine whether or not God has actually given to you the gift of service or ministry. One with the gift of service, first of all, willingly gives themselves to the practical service of God. They are willing and happy to complete the menial task of the church. Number two, one with the gift of service finds fulfillment and joy in freeing up others to do what the Lord has called them to do and has gifted them to do. You know, I'm thankful for folks willing to do some of the things around here. I'm thankful for folks who are willing to pick up the communion cups so that I don't have to walk around before the next service and pick them all up. So that I can come into my office in the days and begin to study and to pray and to be able to make the visits and follow up on the needs and administrate the work of the ministry here. There's a lot of other things that my time needs to be taken up with, not walking around and cleaning up communion cups. And I'm thankful for folks who say, you know what, I see the need and I'm just going to do it. They're not asked. They just see the need and they're willing to meet that need. And they find fulfillment and joy knowing that they are freeing up others to use the gifts that God has given them to be able to serve and edify the church. One with the gift of service has a special sensitivity to detect and to meet the practical needs of God's people and His programs. And they often see needs that others do not, and joyfully meet the needs so that work of the ministry might be effective. Now, there are people who have needs. There are programs of our church that have needs. And God has gifted some with a gift of service to be able to see those needs. Not everyone sees them. I always marvel. My wife and I often talk about this in our home. I marvel how long we can leave something on the floor and how many times children can step over it, kick it, and do everything but stop and pick it up. How can they not see it? It's right in their path. They walk up and down the stairs 3 to 4 times and they never stop to pick that item up. And sometimes we'll just leave it there just to see. I wonder how long they'll wait before they'll stop and actually pick that item up. We see it, but they don't see it. Sometimes folks can get frustrated because they see a need in the church. I don't know why anyone else doesn't see it. Well, folks, God may have given you the gift of service that you might be the one to see that need, and you might be able to direct and help and get that need met. But not everyone's going to see it. But God has gifted some with that ability to see and detect the needs and able then to use those needs for the good and the building up of the body of Christ. I want to take some time and illustrate the gift for you. Paul, in several places in the New Testament, honors those who had and used the gift of service for the glory of God. If you were just to turn over to Romans chapter 16, look at verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Kenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer or servant, a helper of many, and of myself also. Paul would write and tell of Phoebe, one who was willing to succor, to help many. If you were to turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 23, you're going to find that Paul is going to speak of Timothy. And of Timothy he would say, I have none like unto Timothy. There is none other that has ministered so well, for he has been my servant. I have none like Timothy, who is of like mind as me. You consider much of what Timothy's life and ministry was all about. He went, and everywhere he went, he was kind of the guy behind the scenes. He was the assistant to the Apostle Paul. And we need Timothy's. Timothy was willing to go and do whatever Paul would say to do. Timothy, I need to take a journey and go back to Thessalonica and check up on those folks. He's writing to the church of Philippi saying he was willing to do that very same thing. I'm sending him unto you so that he can come and report of me. He was willing to be a servant. He faithfully served and assisted Paul in the work of the ministry. It's interesting. The word in Romans chapter 12 there, the word ministry, is the same word from which we get our word deacon. It's the same root word. If you go back and you study out the purpose of calling of deacons in Acts chapter 6, you'll remember that the deacons were chosen, the deacons were selected and called out from the church in order that they might what? Free up the apostles or the pastors from the menial task of making sure that the meals were delivered to the widows, so that the apostles, the pastors, could do that which they needed to do, which was to give themselves to the ministry of the Word of God and to the ministry of prayer. There was no way for them to be able to do all that needed to be done in making sure all the widows had the necessary items distributed to them. So they asked the church to call out seven men, seven servants, diakonos, that they might be able to meet that need so that they would be freed up, so they might give themselves to the Word of God in prayer. There are those that God has given that gift to be servants. Those behind the scenes servants are absolute blessings to the local church. Secondly, there's the gift of administration. Again, in Romans chapter 12, we're told of one with a gift of ruling, and they are to do so with diligence. Another behind the scenes gift is the gift of administration, the gift of ruling. This gift allows the church to function in an orderly way so that the testimony of the church is not harmed. Again, let's take some time and define that gift. God has given to some the gift of ruling in order to promote and provide proper organization and administration, so that the work of Christ and His church might be done decently and in order. By the way, I find it very interesting if you were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the very last verse is verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's how Paul closes out his treatise of the theme of spiritual gifts. The whole theme of spiritual gifts begins in chapter 12, goes through 13 and through 14, and he says, now let all things be done decently and in order. The church of Christ is to run decently. It should be run and operated in order, that our testimony be not harmed by those who are without. Let's look at the application of the gift. Why do we need those with the gift of administration? Every church needs a clear vision. Would you agree? We've looked at the verse several times, but where there is no vision, the people perish. Every church needs a clear vision.
But in order for that vision to be effectively carried out, there's a need for proper order and structure. How many of you enjoy working in chaos? How many of you enjoy living in chaos? How many of you enjoy going to a restaurant that is run in chaos? We really don't enjoy that. I'll explain chaos to you. All I have to do is define a business in our government. Immigration Canada. Amen. Chaos. It's incredible to me how so many people can do a job and do it ineffectively and not get anything accomplished. It's amazing to me that I can call there on one day and get one answer, call another day and get a completely different answer. Have someone from Siobhan Cody's office call and get a third completely different answer for him to call again and to get a fourth completely different answer. You mean there's nothing that tells them what they're supposed to say and no one has an answer to the same question? It's amazing to me. I still remember when we moved here and came to the border and I told them who I was. And they began to ask each other, does he have to pay to import his vehicle? I really don't know. And they're asking me, do you have to pay to import your vehicle? I said, how would I know? I've never studied your laws, and I don't know. I'm just showing up at the border because that's what I was told to do with this piece of paper, this letter, and you're supposed to give me access. We don't know what to do. So then they called people together. Three or four minds got together, which was worse than the first one. For them to finally say, you know what? We don't have a clue. Let Newfoundland deal with it. I said, I just get to go? Yeah. Thank you. So I drove off. When I got here to St. John's and I took all my information to them, the lady said, they're a bunch of idiots. It's clearly spelled out how the law goes. I said, well, you maybe need to go down there and give them a training session because they were absolutely confused. You know, the second time I came through that same border, they did the same thing. No clue what to do. I said, God bless your heart. Someone needs to come down here and teach you guys how to do your job. You know what? It's no fun to deal with chaos. It's a terrible testimony. It leaves an awful taste in the mouth. You know, the church should not be run in chaos. It leaves a terrible taste in the mouth of its leaders. It ought to run decently and in order. And God gives to us those with a gift of administration. Paul urged those with his gift to carry it out with all diligence. One with the gift of administration has the ability to visualize the final result of a project and then break down the major goals into smaller, achievable tasks. One with the gift of administration assists people in programs and makes them more effective and efficient. One with the gift of administration is able to create order out of chaos. I like that. I don't enjoy working in chaos. I would not say that my greatest gift is administrative. But I really do enjoy those who have that gift that are able to set up order. And I don't mind working under their order because I don't enjoy chaos. One with the gift of administration has the ability to know what resources are available and need in order that we might reach a given goal. You know, if I'm going to build a home, I want the foreman of that job to know what resources are available so that my home would be built quickly, efficiently, for the least amount of money. Not someone who says, well, let's try this and see what happens. No, that doesn't work. So now it's going to cost you this much. And we have to throw out all that stuff that we just bought. No, you're going to be fired in a moment. I want someone who knows how to run the job site and able to get things done, knows what the resources are. One with the gift of administrations finds fulfillment and joy in seeing all parts come together in a finished project. You know, God gives to some an ability to administrate. Some have an ability to be able to see a financial project and put all the pieces in place so that the church is able to run smoothly. God gives to some an ability to orchestrate and oversee building projects, to be able to put together a work day to make sure that it all runs smoothly and efficiently. God gives to some, and He's given to me a secretary that has the ability to look at things and put things in order within an office so that we know how to find things, how we can file things away, so that everything runs well. And if I need something, I can say, can you please pull this up for me? And it's there. Not, I'm not really sure where I put it. Carla wouldn't be here long if that's how she worked. God bless your heart. You're done. Because I need someone who can make things efficient and easy. Not someone who says, well, just go find it yourself. It's somewhere in the filing cabinet. Just go find it. What are you asking me for? I got enough on my plate. You're fired, would be my response. But I'm thankful for people that God gives that ability to. Now, here's the reality. Not a lot of people see that. Not a lot of people got to know about that. But I'm thankful that God gives to some a gift. And those gifts used behind the scenes bring great blessing. When I think of the gift of administration, the illustration that comes to my mind is the prophet, the man Nehemiah. Nehemiah to me was a man that had a wonderful gift to administrate. God burdened his heart to see that the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. Would you agree with me? That was a fairly large task. The place was in chaos. Everything was destroyed and it was in shambles. And he was able to take all of that chaos and put everything in place and develop the order so that the walls were built efficiently and quickly. He had a burden and he had the vision. He was able to break down that vision into of the larger project into various smaller tasks in order that the wall be completed. Even when opposition came, he was able to say, listen, here's quickly the solution. We can keep moving. With one hand your trowel, the other your sword. Now we're going to work in teams. One's going to build and one's going to defend. He was able to see the vision and know how to break it down so that the task could be completed. Although others may not recognize who has done the work of administration, all will see the results when those with this gift use the gift for the glory of God and the edification of Christ's church. Folks, our God is wise enough to gift His people so that the church would run efficiently, effectively, that it would be edified, that it might be able to evangelize. To some, He gives the gift of prophecy. To some, He gives the gift of teaching. To some, He gives a gift of exhortation. To some, He gives a gift of mercy and a gift of giving. But then He gives to some a gift that they could use behind the scenes. A gift of service or a gift of administration. People willing to happily do those tasks that make the church function well. I love people like that, and I appreciate people like that. I really do. And although we may not ever say it enough, we may not put their names in the bulletin, it goes noticed. It is noticed on a Sunday when things run well that there are people with these gifts behind the scenes doing their job. Why? For their honor? For their glory? No. For the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. That the church be built up. They free up others that they might use their gifts. A gift of teaching. A gift of giving or a gift of mercy. God has given to us gifted people. And none of these gifts ought to be despised. And we need to ask God, Lord, have you given to me this?
this gift? Do I have a gift of service? Am I willing to serve happily behind the scenes? Have you given me the ability to administrate and do things well? If so, Lord, how can I use that gift for the betterment of our church? Where can I serve that someone else be freed up? What can I organize or help with so that others can do their job more efficiently? Maybe it's in Sunday school. Maybe it's in the master clubs. Maybe it's on Wednesday nights. Or maybe it's in some other aspect of ministry. There's much that needs to be done. And God gives to many these gifts that they might be used. I'm thankful for these behind-the-scene blessings that benefit the church greatly for the honor and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close our time in a word of prayer tonight, shall we?